Are you ready to realize the true potential in your life and help others do the same? Get equipped to create a thriving future with the Secrets of Success podcast. Inspire others to live, lead, and work on purpose, and experience the joy of watching satisfaction and productivity come to life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Ken Keyes.
It's my pleasure to share with you today part one of the quest for purpose. You know, over the last 30 years, I've been in the professional development field and had the pleasure and privilege of serving just hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people all around the world. And I took that life's work and wrote my most recent book, The Quest for Purpose, a self-discovery process on how to find it and live it. So I thought it valuable that we would take the next four podcasts and really break down the quest for purpose into the process to be able to serve you if you are an individual of any background who wants to improve the engagement of their life, wants to improve fulfillment, wants to be able to improve your capabilities and just your well-being, then I look forward to us joining us for this podcast as far as all four parts. And I hope to break down the book in a way that will be palatable for you. And then also, if you want to be able to kind of go to the book site, thequestforpurpose.ca, and get the book and the additional resources required to be able to serve you. So let's just jump right into it today. And, you know, in many other podcasts, we'll have guests, but I just wanted this series to be about the work that we have done and put together over those years to serve you. You know, when we think about quest or we think about life purpose, one of the sad stats that's out there is there was a study done by Gallup just a couple of years ago, and it established through 142 countries what percentage of individuals were engaged in their work. And the stats showed that only 13% of those people, that the working population across the globe, are actually engaged in work. In a very high percentage, a high majority of them are actively disengaged, meaning they're sabotaging the work environment of the people that they're hanging around. The best countries were the US and Canada at 29%. So if we have an average of 13% engagement, and the best countries are 29, what does that mean for the rest of the other countries? I had a chance to be able to speak in Singapore a couple of years ago, and my understanding from the associate that we were there doing the work with them is that they just had a government survey and that only 2% of the workforce was highly engaged at work. Now, this is a country that's one of the third, the fourth, or the fifth highest GDP in the world. So money obviously isn't the issue. So I'm going to take you through Quest and the steps. And what we'll do in part number one is really set this up for you, plus ask some very deep questions that many people don't ask in other books. Because I looked at literally dozens and dozens of other assessments and tools in books that talk about life purpose. And I believe that some of the things that we were covering were just simply omitted in it, or it was just politically incorrect to talk about it. So when we think about life purpose, you know, if your life isn't the way that you would like to be, or if it's the same way 5 years from now, without any changes, would that be okay? And the majority of individuals would say no. So if it's no, then that infers that there's change that you need to consider or think about. So let's just kind of go through, well, what does that mean for change and how might I start? So the problem with the question of what is your life purpose, in a lot of students or a lot of adults who maybe are going on transitions in life, they don't even know how to answer that. And the reason they don't need can't answer it is because the question is too big. It's too all-encompassing. And so one of the things we'll do in this four-part series is to break it down into bite-sized pieces, so that you'll be able to have your questions answered. You know, the question that is asked to me many times when I do these sessions and I speak, you know, all around the world, or people have me keynoting at conferences around purpose and quest, is that, you know, does everybody have a purpose? And the answer to the quick answer to that is absolutely yes. Every single individual on the planet has a purpose, has assignment, has a calling. And I'll get into that in the last part of our segment here today. But first of all, when we think about purpose, I want to ask the question is that, you know, we need to be aware, and I have a chapter, the first chapter in the book is around self-awareness. Are we even conscious about what my gifts, talents, and abilities are? Am I conscious about what my style is? Am I conscious about my natural sort of tendencies? Am I conscious about the impact that my behavior is having with people around me? You know, there was a survey done by TalentSmart and said that, you know, without the knowledge of personal style, which I will cover in our third segment, only 2% of the population will realize their purpose. What does that mean? I mean, 98% of the population listening to this will not realize your purpose unless you're self-aware of what your personal style is. And personal style, in our definition, is your natural predisposition to perceive, approach, and interact with the environment. It is what you're born with. So a lot of times, people don't even know what my natural tendencies are, and that your decisions about life, the kind of work, the impact on relationships, the impact on that career direction, the impact of even my social life, and what I like to do personally is not considered. You know, I was recently doing a workshop with a client, and you know, almost everybody in the room said, you know what, I work too much. I don't even know what I want to do in my personal life because I've really never even thought about it, or I do everything for everybody else. So self-awareness is foundational to us to be able to kind of move forward. Because if you're not conscious of the answers to these many questions, then how could you possibly act on them? Well, you can't. And so our responsibility is to kind of move forward with that. One of my colleagues is Richard Nodell, and his friend is Dick Bowles, who wrote the book, What Color Is Your Parachute? Now, Dick has sold over 10 million copies. Now, between the two of them, they have almost 80 years of career development. And my question to them was, you know, with all these courses, with all these programs, with all these options out there, why are so few people actually living on purpose? Why are there so just a minuscule amount of individuals who really are on fire about life? And in unison, when I had dinner with them, they said, you know what? Because people have not been willing to do the work. You know what? Purpose and discovering your purpose takes effort. I mean, for some individuals, arguably, they just showed up, or in life, they knew even at a young age they were to sing or to act or go down the road of medicine or other directions. But that's rare. In my own journey, and I share my story in the book, The Quest for Purpose, is that I grew up on a dairy farm. And my destiny, if I hadn't changed tracks, I was the eldest male, third generation, Eastern European descent. Guess what? Everybody was planning that I was going to take over the dairy farm. And that is what I did for a short period of time. But I very quickly realized that even though I was good at it, even though I had training, even though I had the background, it wasn't my life passion. But it still took me 10 years to get all the things in order to make the decision. And a lot of that getting in order was courage. So not only the first step was as I left the farm, because I realized that that environment wasn't really building and growing me. And then I actually even had my own farm. And I asked myself the question one morning at 5 a.m. as the sun is coming up, if I was doing this for the next 20 years, would that be okay? And my resounding question was no. So one of the questions that came out of that question was, what does that mean? What do I need to do? And I was fortunate. And then I don't believe in accidents. And I'll get to that here in a few minutes about meaning before purpose and why that's so important to, you know, any of the work that we do in our life purpose work. Is that I needed help to kind of get clear about what is it I'm supposed to do. And so I joined the National Speakers Association in the 80s. And I was fortunate to meet an individual, Mike McManus, out of Seattle, Washington, who had created a program called Source. And the reason that he created it initially, he was an educator, was to help keep high school students in school because the dropout rate was so high. And what he quickly realized, what he quickly recognized, and what he was asked to do is that this was equally applicable to adults. Many adults didn't know where they wanted to go. And so I knew that I was to communicate purpose. I knew that I was to encourage others. I knew that I wanted to help others to realize their purpose, but also realize their potential. But I was uncertain. What was the group? What was I talking about? To who? To where? And so I made a decision living in Vancouver, Canada, going down to Seattle, which is 2.5 hour drive to Mike's place from mine. I drove to his location because really, you know, the internet and email wasn't big at that time. I'm sorry, I'm kind of dating myself on this. But it wasn't really common at that time. So rather than just a phone call, I would go and I would meet with him, and he would take me through 2 or 3 hour sessions, private sessions, to be able to determine what my direction was or what my source was. And then I went and journaled pages and pages and dozens of pages of what was important to me. And I'll take you through that journey in section number 4 or part 4 of this series on the podcast, The Secrets of Success, The Quest. And so I was able, through that process with Mike, over a 6-month period of time, I did the work, I did the discovery. You know what? It never stops. It continues to be refined, but he really launched me as a mentor, as a coach, as an expert on life purpose, to help me get started on this professional development field. And here we are, nearly 30 years later. And I've had the opportunity to write 4 books, 4 million words of content, do 3,000 presentations. And none of that actually would have occurred or would have happened unless I had the courage to really remove myself from the destiny that my family had kind of scripted for me. You know, when I left the farm, and I love my folks, I love my parents, and maybe they'll listen to this, maybe they won't. But when I said I was leaving, their comment was, you know what, we did all of this for you. You've heard the story. Some of you are locked into a direction, into a process, because there's obligations rather than serving you. And this is not about being self-centered. This is really about honoring yourself. The highest level of contribution that we can make in life is when we are in the zone. We are connected to our purpose, our calling, our assignment. You know, it doesn't mean that life is perfect. That is far from it. But when you are living on purpose, you have an energy, you have a resilience, you have courage that you don't have when you're kind of miserable and out of it. You know, when 80 or 90% of people dislike what they do for mildly irritate the loathe, then what does that mean to their energy? And when you have a high percentage who hate their work, man, they're draining, you're stressed, your illness levels go up, your immunity goes down. There's all kinds of implications. What would it mean instead of 4 to 5 people disliking their work, that 4 or 5 people love what they were doing and love their life? Whew, what a difference that would make. And so the question you have to ask yourself, and I'm not here to stand in judgment in any way in terms of your direction, because your purpose is personal. And what we're outlining here in these podcasts is, how do I get there? You know, get the book. The book will really go in depth far more than I can in these 4 short podcasts, and get the assessments to help you. But really, I want to challenge you that everybody here is an individual of significance. Everybody listening to this podcast can realize their potential, realize their purpose. We can't be blaming other individuals. We can't be blaming and be a victim of our circumstances. It is truly our responsibility. Nobody else can live your life. I mean, many people refer to Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. He was an Auschwitz in the war, and even in that situation, he said, I had a choice. I had a choice about my attitude. I had a choice to respond to the circumstances I was in. As individuals around him were being murdered and killed, he still kept his hope and focus about what is most important to him. You know, when we think about purpose, one of the things I want to encourage and set up what's different about the Quest process than many others is we believe in developing the whole person. You know, some individuals have actually found their calling and their assignment, but their life is miserable. And I'll get into that in part 2 and 3 about character and mindset. But one of the things when we think about purpose, it's really an entire package. And so one of the things we teach is, you know, you need to know your personal style, and that's great. But what about my health and wellness? What if I am on fire and I'm speaking and everything like that, but I have illness or I'm sick? or a cancer comes my way, or I don't get sleep, or I'm extremely overweight, or I have diabetes, or I don't eat well, or I don't sleep enough, whatever the case is that is going to take away from my fulfillment. Just because I know my purpose doesn't mean that all these other factors are in place. So we have personal style, we have health and wellness. Another one is self-worth. You know, you can know your direction, but maybe you don't have the courage and the confidence to make the decisions to get into the step and get into the flow of what applies to you. And so we need to be confident in who we are. And this is, again, not about being self-centered. This is about self-honoring. This is not about hubris, where I have arrogance and that I'm better than somebody else. It's really putting you on equal status with everybody else, and that your needs in your ability to serve others is equal to everybody else. You're not putting yourself down in deference to those other individuals. You are holding yourself up high in being able to say, you know what, my needs apply too. And here's why. If you meet your needs, if you address your needs, then your ability to serve others is actually going to increase. So it's not self-centered at all. I mean, arrogance and ego is where I think I'm better than everybody else and where I'm full of myself. That's not what we're talking about at all. It's really about self-honoring. You know, when we talk about the difference factors, is that, you know, a lot of different countries be listening to this podcast. So you could be in Asia, you could be in Europe, you could be in North America, you could be in Australia, you could be in New Zealand, doesn't matter. Could be in South Africa. Is that all these different cultures, is you want to honor that because the cultural nuances and your family of origin, all of that will come into play. We talk about your family of origin in terms of values and value sets. Those will be influencing who you are and talk about that into podcast 3. And then we also have emotional anchors in your experiences in life. They will be highly influencing what you do and what you don't do in life, what's most important to you. So you want to be able to honor that. And then the final item in our, what we call developing the whole person, is your spiritual beliefs or spirituality. Now, I'm going to come to that in a second, is that, you know, spirituality, what we mean by that is that your belief system highly influences what you do and what you don't do. You know, if you believe in nothing, that needs to be honored. It's everybody has their own personal journey. But if you believe in nothing, that is going to highly influence what you think and do in life. If you believe in something, then that's going to influence you as well. So one of the chapters I put in The Quest, which was different than many of the other books, it was interesting because I read other books, best-selling books on finding your purpose, finding your passion, finding your element, finding what your calling is. But what was really interesting is almost without exception, most of them omitted or just had cursory comments about spirituality or what I call meaning before purpose. You know, one of the things that everybody has to ask themselves is that, says, what gives something meaning? You know, and I have a quote in my book, and I'm actually just going to read it because it was just easiest to be able to do it there. A life without cause is a life without effect. So if our life is just an accident, if we're just sort of a genetic accident and there is no creator, there is no intelligence around it, then that is going to influence and impact what you think and what you do. But what does it mean if there is a creator? What does it mean if there is meaning beyond what's going on here and how we might respond? So one of the things I did in the book is quote my friend's work, Andy Steiger, who put together a thinking series, and we have those videos up on the Quest site. But also, you can go to his site to be able to watch them. But there are five questions that Andy does work in the spiritual center and the spiritual center of life for people. And he found in coffee shops or seminars or malls of the world, what were the five questions that people were always asking. And those five questions are what I have in the book, which I want to challenge you to be able to think about and respond and ponder. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody, and myself included, will respect you on what you believe and what's there. However, I will challenge you to say, how did you come to your assumptions? What does that mean to you? And I'm just going to share my short story here in a few minutes about what it means to me and how that came together. But first of all, what is the meaning of life? You know, where do we get meaning? Do we get meaning out of that brand new car? Do we get meaning out of that new house? Do we get meaning out of that new job? Do we get meaning out of that promotion? Do we get meaning out of that relationship? And yeah, these are all important factors that contribute to my life. But you know, very quickly, as soon as you go on that hike, as soon as you go on that trip, that trip's over. That new car becomes old in a few months. The house is no longer new. You've moved that. And so we are in this constant sort of quest, if you may, pardon the pun, to be able to have another high in life, to go on this adrenaline junkie process. And I was just recently being interviewed by a radio station in Philadelphia, and the host was asking me, so what, you know, what does that mean for people? He says, you know, if I'm always looking towards a goal, if I'm always looking to get something else, then that means that I cannot have meaning in the moment. Where do you get your meaning in the moment, this very second? Where does that come from? And that one of the disciplines that I've had to learn is that it's not about getting something or achieving something. It's in the journey. It's in my existence, because the only space that everybody that's listening to this podcast will live in is this very moment. This very second that you're listening to this podcast, this very second that you are interacting with my voice and the content in this podcast, is that you won't be anywhere else. You can't be in the past. You can't be in the future. And so we want to get our meaning in the moment. And so can I feel gratitude? Can I feel meaning in this very moment rather than the things I need to achieve? There was a study done of Olympic athletes, specifically individuals who were very high achievers who had achieved gold or silver or bronze in the Olympics. And one of the research pieces that came out of it, which really was quite astounding, is that the time frame or the time that these individuals that had the highest level of depression or really were feeling down was right after they won an Olympic gold. And then, so the researcher said, why is that? And he says, because their whole life it was around getting this gold medal. And I don't take anything away from Olympic athletes. They are amazing. It's just phenomenal to watch them. But if my whole life is wrapped up in the gold and I get the gold, then the question came, which is what the research discovered, what next? What do I do next? I mean, I've reached this. Where do I go next? And so life is all this series of highs. And we see that with fame and with fortune, is individuals, usually younger, who have not matured, they think fame and fortune is going to create this meaning for them. And all of a sudden, it's drugs and it's parties. Or we see this with athletes who maybe come out of a situation where they had nothing. And all of a sudden, when they have everything, they can't manage it. And they go crazy. And all of a sudden, we ask the question, they have everything. Why are they addicted to drugs? And that is because their meaning in life, they were getting it out of things versus something that was deeper. Which leads to the next four questions. And that, does God exist? You know, is he real? Is he out there? And I know everybody has different definitions and I have my bias, but part of this question, and it's interesting, you know, this is a podcast that is secular, but one of the reasons I ask the question is because I've been in both sides of this ledger, in that I do believe there is a creator. I do believe there's divine intervention. I do believe that there's intelligence behind us. And if you look at our DNA and the coding and how everything is perfectly orchestrated, when I was in denial for 10 years, I was on the opposite side thinking there's nothing, is that I found that was empty and that was void. And so we have to ask the question, does God exist? And how can we know? How can we know that he exists? And what are the clues? And so there are some clues that I write in the book, questions that we need to ask ourselves about why there might be. The third question is okay, maybe I think there's more going on, but do all religions lead to God? And so here's what my discovery after years of going through and looking at this is that the answer actually is no, because many of the major sort of religions that are out there, they're in conflict with one another. They can't coexist because the assumptions that they have are not equal, not aligned And if one exists, the other one does not. So my encouragement is that you go and discover your own truth. I'll share what mine is at the end of the podcast. Number four, a question that people ask is, why is there evil? You know, where does that come from? Well, we see some of the heinous crimes where people are beheaded and just kidnapping and killing and all these kinds of things. You know, it'd be pretty ignorant to say that there's not evil out there. And so where does that come from? And then the final question that people ask themselves that Andy discovered in his research, is there life after death? I mean, is this all there is? You know, am I just an organic being that when it's all said and done, I am done? And I just want to encourage you, you know, if you go and you read my book, I go in depth in the appendix as far as my journey, my spiritual journey. And I mean, I have a Christian faith in that I do believe there's a creator that loves each one of us and loves you and loves me. But you have to go and will be respected, but you have to go on your own journey to be able to determine what works for you. And I found through my own journey is that it answered those questions that I just asked you. And what, you know, what is the most important? And what is interesting is that the other books I read on purpose and passion and element never mentioned this. Yet I believe it's foundational. Is that, are we just a physical being, or are we a spiritual being having a physical being, pardon me, having a spiritual experience? And I believe it's the latter. And you know, that really has impact. When I know that there's something more going on, that gives me confidence that I get meaning, that I was created for a reason. And so I want to kind of end this podcast with that comment, is that there are no accidents. That every single person listening to this has a purpose. But it's your responsibility to discover what it might be and how you might live that out and what your assignment is and what your gifts are and what your talents are. But you know what? You need to do the work to discover that. You know, it's sad to say that the majority of individuals, especially in North America where I live, will spend more this weekend on entertainment. That could be alcohol, movies, a show, than they will on themselves to develop and come to the conclusions or the answers that they need or want. And so they complain that they don't have the answers, but what my experience has shown is that the answers you seek are reserved for the people, for the ones looking. So discovery is reserved for the seeker. And if you're not seeking these answers, if you're not looking for these answers, if you're not intentionally going out to say, what are my gifts and talents? What should I be doing? What's the best job for me? What kind of relationship would really work for me? What kind of partner would really work for me? What kind of part of the world would I like to live in? Just because I was born in Central Canada or the US and the Midwest or the South or the East or the West Coast, is there another place that I need to be? You know, we are quite okay with this world to be able to ask the question. And one of the reasons that there is so much confusion, and the research bears this out, is that there has never been more opportunities. Do you know that in the US alone, and I mean, I'm not speaking for all the other countries that are listening, but in the US alone, there are 40,000 job titles. You know, what does that mean when I have 40,000 choices? No wonder people are confused. No wonder it's overwhelming for you. And so I just want to encourage you that the answers you seek are there if you start looking. That you need to, we want to create self-awareness in consciousness in all areas of our life. That we want to develop the whole person. I mean, it's not just about knowing your purpose. It's everything else that fits into that. And you know what? Meaning does come before purpose. Now, if you think there's nothing going on, you will be honored in a lot of the strategies and the information that I will send or share with you in part 2, 3, and 4. It will apply. But it won't go as deep, in my experience, as it will if you have established and confirmed where meaning comes from for you. You know what? Serving individuals is a privilege. And if you have some interest, if you don't want to wait till the next podcast, or maybe it's up there and you're just going to consume them all, that's fine. If you don't want to wait, then I encourage that you would go to thequestforpurpose.ca and get the book, The Quest for Purpose. There are other assessments that come with it, and get started on this journey. I mean, there's an ebook, there's a soft cover, there's a hard cover. Get any kind of book that you want. Now, the other thing that I just want to encourage is a lot of times you have friends, you have children, you have husbands, you have wives, you have colleagues who are really struggling with this question of purpose. You know what? Maybe it's a gift that you want to give them, that you are able to get them the Quest for Purpose book as a gift so that they can realize their potential. You know, all of you again listening have a purpose. And I look forward to chatting to you or you listening to the next podcast, part 2, 3, and 4 in this Quest series.
Thanks for exploring the secrets of success with us. If you want to keep the momentum going, log on to crgleader.com. Scroll to the bottom and sign up for our inspirational emails. You can also take your success to the next level by following us on Facebook and Twitter and connecting with Ken on LinkedIn. We hope you have a great week and look forward to you joining us next time for the Secrets of Success podcast with Dr. Ken Keyes.